Hi, we're here interviewing black Republicans. LeMaire, what's it like being a black Republican now?
I haven't fully committed to Republicanism.
Yeah.
I haven't completely committed.
What are your policies so far?
You know, I hate when they kill babies. I hate that.
Mm. Oh, you hate abortion?
That's your main issue?
And I think we should keep people out. I know you're here, but we should keep people out, dude.
My mom's visiting. Her and her friend were out. They were out drinking wine last night. Mm. I got to overhear my mom and her friend discussing Israel-Palestine last night.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I was just trying to play a video game. And my mom was like, well, they started it, and this is war. So I was sitting there like, pausing the game, like, Mom, what do you know about Israel Palestine?
He's like, no, I know that.
Yeah, it was so funny to watch how you and your mom, like, with each other. It's really funny.
Yeah.
And she's just trying to be nice. You're like, Mom, does that really make sense?
I do. I need to stop being a brat to my mom.
Yeah, you got to be good to your mom, man.
I know. And rule, I'm such one. I'm being good on paper. I'm very good to her.
What do you mean?
Like, I'll buy her stuff.
That's good.
You got
off paper thing, though. You're a fucking
in person,
demon.
In person, people are like, oh man, this guy's kind of mean to his mom. I don't know why I treat her not badly, but like when she makes, you know how this isn't good? She'll make up stories like in groups to try to like sound funny,
like embarrassing stories about you.
She'll
talk
some embarrassing stories.
What's an example?
Last night she almost did it. Yesterday at the table, I heard she was hitting me with the fucking "Here it comes."
Yeah,
as in like when I was a kid. I'll be honest, third grade, I sharted at the end of the day, and I made it the whole way home with the. I escaped. No one caught me.
How much poop was?
It was enough that it smelled.
What time?
Okay. In the classroom.
Damn. So did your friends realize that you
waiting for the bus? I shit in the classroom when they were calling the buses. I shit my pants. Got home, stunk the bus up. I was like, Jesus. Oh, it stinks. Who did that? And then I got home, and at dinner, they were like, how was your day? And I was like, it was messy. Mm. I said, it was messy.
You didn't elaborate.
And then I was like, I shit my pants. But the joke is that, how was your day? It was messy.
Mm. Yeah.
And then yesterday we were sitting outside and I heard her. She was like, how was your day? Was it messy? And I was like, don't me shitting my pants right now. So I'll give her that. That was a good one.
She was telling us the other day how she tried her hardest not to make you feel. She was like, I used to read him books. I used to read him stories, but he just
tried to not make me my father.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, but then Jesus, he just started
like
turning into Phil.
That's what I mean. She says wild shit like that.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
She loves Phil. She like, it's not Phil. Like they're divorced. No. And they've never had a problem.
No, she loves Phil so much.
Yeah, Phil's the best. Yeah, what the fuck? She says like dramatic things like that.
Yeah.
And that I can't, I get annoyed.
I understand.
So I need to work on that and be very nice to her.
For sure. Did you buy her house yet or what?
I got her pool. I'm going to make them keep the house.
Okay.
I like the childhood house that I grew
up in.
So I'm like, I'm not.
You bought her the Mechanicsburg house.
Yeah, the Mechanicsburg house they own, and I bought they got a nice pool.
So you paid for renovations.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Is it a lap pool or it's more like a small one?
It's a pretty big fucking pool. It's worth close to as much as they paid for the house.
Goddamn.
And I was like, you can get a pool. I was like, Mom, I don't care how much it costs. I didn't think they were that expensive.
Mm-hmm. How much was it, if you don't mind me
asking? It was like, right now, it's probably sitting at like $200.
Oh, you bought her a nice house.
She got like a giant pool. Because yeah. She was like, okay, here's what I want. And I was like, Mom, you don't have to go cheap on this. You can get whatever you want. And then she sent me an invoice for like, she's like, with the landscaping, it's going to be about $250,000. She's like, all right. So I don't ever want to hear that I'm a bad fucking son again. She's, yeah. Last night was funny too. Yeah, I was making fun of her for it. I was like, Mom, the pool is $250,000. Shut up. She was like, it is not. It is not $250,000. And I was like, how much is it? She was like, there's one more thing we have to add to it. I was like, God damn. But she's having fun. Good. So it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. She put up with me being a fucking loser for 30 years. So that's good.
Well, now you did it, man. You're on top of the world right now.
For the time being, yes.
Full circle.
Till I blow all my money on pools for my mom. Anyway, it's nice for you to join us, dude. Andrew Callahan, everybody. Let's get it.
Thanks for the invite, man. I appreciate it. I'm a huge
very
fan.
Happy. We are such big fans of yours. I wish Matt could be here for this. Matt's a really big fan. He's been talking about you a lot on the pod lately.
Yeah, that's why I hit you guys up.
Yeah.
Pennsylvanian excellence in the pod.
Hell yeah, dude.
You guys, so you're Mechanicsburg, he's Havertown.
Yes. Mm. And where are you? You're
Just Philadelphia.
Just Center City?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Center City, Fairmount.
Nice. That's where Matt lived. He lived in Fairmount.
I grew up like right behind Eastern State Penitentiary.
Nice.
Like right between Girard and Spring.
What years were you there?
I was there from like 1997, year of birth, I would say, 2008. And my 2008? Dad was such a, like a, what's it called, Pearl Jam fan, that he got like a bunch of Pearl Jam lyrics tattooed, and he's like, we're moving to Seattle. And so we just picked up and followed grunge across the world.
That's pretty fucking wild. Your dad wild, followed
Pearl
dude?
Jam?
No, not followed Pearl Jam physically.
Oh, okay.
But followed the spirit of Pearl Jam.
Yeah, the spirit of Pearl Jam, which doesn't exist there anymore.
We found out the hard way. They divorced about a year after.
Yeah.
2008. The spirit of Pearl Jam
doesn't. What, they got a divorce? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they did divorce.
Yeah, after the Pearl Jam moves?
Not because the spirit of Pearl Jam was a thing of the past, but they had a independent...
Grunge is dead. This marriage is dead. Yeah, Seattle's nice, though. I like Seattle.
It's all right.
I was in Vancouver first, and then Seattle. And Vancouver seems like just a nice version of Seattle.
Did you go to the downtown east side of Vancouver?
No, I heard about that.
It's like the Kensington of
Canada. Yeah. I heard it was the Kensington. Sure. Yeah. I got in an argument. There is that weird like sense of pride you have where you're like, no, Philly's the worst place on earth. And I was arguing with a Canadian lady and she was like, no, Vancouver's the worst place. And then we shared videos and I think I shared your K&A stuff.
Oh, okay, I would say Philly's far worse than Vancouver.
Thank you.
Yeah, you win.
In your face, Canadian lady.
Yeah, we do take pride in our...
but you're from Philly. You got that bias.
I'm from Philly, but when I grew up, my parents always told me, like, no matter what happens, do not cross Girard Avenue.
Yeah.
So I knew there was, like, some mystical nightmare land about a mile from my house, but I had no visual until I was 26, and I was like, let's go cover this. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's the most disturbing place I've ever seen, the corner of K&A.
Yeah.
I've seen some shit, and that's the worst.
Do you remember when that guy... it was like 3 years ago, he was driving like 120 miles an hour in an Escalade and just slammed into he eviscerated a bum. He hit a bum going like 120.
That's crazy.
He hit one of those guys that was like,
someone's
nodding off standing at a train station.
That's got to be the worst high ever.
Or the best.
Oh, yeah.
I think it might honestly be the best way to go.
Did the guy survive?
No. Dude, it was going for real. It was a lightning bolt down K&A.
Because certain drug users have superhuman strength. So
I think a couple of them got hit and survived, bounced.
The tweaker survived.
Yes.
The junkies
They
out.
Made it. The junkerman was asleep.
The junkerman.
Yeah, it's fine. I know you're an advocate for the fellows, but we like to refer to them as the junkermans.
I mean, I think that's fair.
And the junkermans, we would drive around K&A, junkermans! We didn't taunt them out the window.
We didn't.
Yeah. We were yelling in the car.
Yeah.
Hey, no harm, no foul, right?
Yeah, we filmed a lot of the show in a show we made in Philadelphia, this sketch show we made. Mm. And at night, when we were done with the shoots, we would drive around and just like take a look at K&A at night.
What was your main takeaway from those drives?
It was so shocking. I kept doing it.
Yeah.
Like it was that fucking crazy. I'm like, injecting into open wounds. And that's not like a rare thing. They're all doing it when you see them.
Yeah.
That you will see that.
Ben Shapiro just went down there.
Oh man. Yeah.
He was like filming in the back seat of a fucking Escalade.
Yeah. He's probably like this isn't an open air prison. This is pretty nice.
He's like, look at what the Democrats have done. It's like, oh yeah, they created Trank, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, the Republicans are going to fix homelessness and end abortion.
Dude, we were talking a little bit before, but you're
saying
they'll
clean it up, dude. They'll get them out of there. We won't notice. They're going to go through hell, but we won't notice.
Dude, I kind of want to know about the Trank Bros.
Oh,
they
yeah.
seem like cool. Like, I mean, I know, like, you know, but like, I don't know. They seem like good, not good guys, but like, you know.
I don't think I really know what you mean.
They look like they have fun.
That was Matt's top question too. He was like, make sure you ask him about the Trank Bros.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Those are the head chefs of Kensington. That was some dark energy in that house where I talked to him. Like I'd never been around just like sheer darkness in that sense before, but those guys were not playing around.
Yeah.
And my eyes were burning because like the mist or whatever, the powder coming off the table was like creating this thick, dense atmospheric layer of like Trank dust.
Yeah.
And eyes were fucking burning and like they're heating up lamb in the microwave in the kitchen behind there. That's all they eat is lamb.
Yeah.
They only eat lamb?
Yeah. They see it as like a super high class delicacy.
That's pretty cool. Lamb is pretty high class, dude. Some lamb chops out the microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you dish out Trank. People dying outside. Yeah, that's truly dark energy. That's like real.
Yeah.
Those are Satanists.
They had like one moment that I didn't even put in because it was so weird. But I guess they're like trying to be funny. One of them was like, "Hey, you know who my favorite bitch is, right?" And I was like, "What?" He was like, "Kim Kardashian." I go, "Why?" He's like, "That white girl." And I was like, "What?" What? I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "That's my favorite bitch because I love that white girl." And I was like, "Coke?" And they're like, "Yeah." And that was it. Yeah. You know, and I was like, that was good joke.
You could have picked a whiter lady.
I know.
Tilda Swinton.
But it was like in the middle of an intense interview, and I was like, am I supposed to laugh right now? But that was like their attempt at like hilarious comedy.
Yeah, we're going to break this thing open.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I should probably get into open mics. That's with the Trank Brothers. They're going to head down to Helium Philly.
Hit the Raven Lounge.
Yeah.
They hit the Raven Lounge. They'll make some sales.
They could make some sales. Yeah. They'd get you.
But I couldn't believe, dude. I couldn't believe that they're willing to actually talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you learn that like everybody, no matter what they're doing, wants to be recognized for their work. Like they want to be remembered by history, even if what they're doing is like technically immoral. They think like we did something historic, which they did.
Yeah.
They created Trank.
Yeah.
And that's basically had an impact, and they want to be recognized and have a statement.
How the fuck have they not been arrested?
I don't know, man. What do you think?
Like if you can just go interview the guys that did it.
I've had that thought a lot. Like, it's almost easier as a journalist to get to someone than it is for the cops.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, like, they're trained in avoiding cops, but they love exposure. Like, everybody loves publicity, especially drug dealers.
Yeah. Like, didn't Sean Penn interview, like, El Chapo?
Right.
Sean Penn did interview El Chapo.
And then didn't El Chapo get arrested? I think Sean Penn's a fed, dude. He's like Diddy, bro.
The informant.
I think that happened because El Chapo said he was a huge fan of Sean Penn's movies. Yeah. I think El Chapo actually requested Senor Penn to come visit him.
Sam.
Yeah.
He's like, look at him, he fucking retired in the whole movie. He fucking retired. You gotta see his movie. He fucking... That's good stuff, huh?
I think the first 5 minutes of I Am Sam is really funny.
I was just talking about this.
They set the base. Yeah. They set the base for like how retarded he is.
When he falls?
No, in the beginning of the movie, he's like literally like organizing sugar packets at Starbucks. And then he goes to the hospital and the baby happens. And then the lady abandons him with the baby by walking into a crowd of people.
That's how she loses him?
Yeah.
She probably didn't even try to abandon him. He fucking lost him.
Yeah. It was crazy.
I will say, though, if somebody followed around me for the first part of my day,
yeah,
I'd be putting out the first, yeah, I'd be organizing sugar packets.
Yeah, fuck it.
Splendous.
Yeah.
Dude.
So what the hell are you doing down here in Austin?
I wanted to come on your podcast. Went on the Lex Friedman podcast. Oh, yeah. Just a couple of pods, man. I also love Austin. I haven't been here since the country shut down for COVID. So I was like, I heard that it was super different and there was like a big California influx. So I had to come confirm firsthand.
Is it confirmed?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The city's like 3 times bigger than it was in 2019. It's crazy. Yeah, also, the eclipse is happening in 5 days.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to this field near Uvalde where all the totality nerds are going to meet up. Bill Nye is going to be there. Yeah. So I'm going to try to catch him. But people are freaking out about this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what totality is, but it's a big deal apparently.
It's like a... 100% covering.
Yeah.
100% cover of the moon in front of the sun. Right?
Yeah, it's an eclipse.
All right, okay.
So does that mean the whole like sky is going to go dark?
I think so.
That's going to be sick. For two minutes, I heard.
It's on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're going to be in Michigan, dude. We're going to miss the fucking cool eclipse.
The 8th. It's on Monday.
It's on Monday?
Yeah.
Why do I think it was Friday?
Right. Saginaw is like where they have that cool ass bridge that goes from like regular Michigan to the Upper Peninsula, right?
I've never been there.
I've been there one time. I went to a bar and like I've never had a straight up like neo-Nazi like try to approach me before, but I was in Saginaw and this fool was like, I thought he was going to say huge fan. He's like, what's up, man? I'm embracing for like the, hey, good to meet you. And he goes, are you AB? Like Aryan Brotherhood?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. And he's like, oh, I thought you were my celly. My bad. And I was just like, what the hell?
Damn.
And that was the only experience I've ever had in Saginaw, Michigan. I was there for maybe a half an hour.
Straight up meeting a neo-Nazi.
I had a real fascist. I met fascists once. I was in Spain at a bar.
Mm.
And these dudes were like, I could barely speak English or Spanish and English at that point. But I'm talking to these guys and they're like, yeah. We love Franco. And I was like, sick. Mm. And then he'd like put out his cell phone. And it was him giving a Nazi salute in front of a burning swastika on his phone.
What do you say to that?
I was like, oh, bien. Muy bien.
Loco.
Fucking loco. And then I told the bartender, I was like, bro, they're fucking fascistas. And he was like, was like, well, she says a key. And he was like, yeah, that's a...
He's like, that's just a regular
guy. He's a bar, dude.
Yeah.
Don't be fucking gay, dude. Don't fucking tell on the fascists. So well, Mayor, you ever get to meet any Nazis?
No, but I was thinking about burning crosses the other day. I watched that movie, The Black Klansman, and at the end they have a burning cross at it. And I was like, that's actually kind of a powerful like visual, a burning cross. And then I like looked into it, and one of the emperors, I can't remember his name, but he used burning crosses to like scare people when he was trying to, when he was crusading, trying to get the Bible together.
I think you should do it.
Burn a cross.
Yeah. What do you vote, Shane? Yeah.
Let's set it up, dude.
I would love it if Lemaire got into cross burning.
Flip the
screen. Please not at my house.
Yeah, not here?
Definitely not here.
I think it's powerful. It was like kind of moving. The way they did it in the movie, like it was like, because like we reconstituted the meaning as get out of our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the meaning was originally get out of our neighborhood, but like it could be beautiful.
Mm. It could be a statement against the oppression of the church,
dude. Mm.
Christian Ooh, values yeah, forced yeah. on our society.
Yeah,
you're undoing it by reclaiming the imagery.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Next time there's like this. a pro-life rally, get down there.
Burn a cross.
Burn a cross. And say I'm pro-life yeah.
in front of the Planned Parenthood.
When the fuck did you become so pro-life?
I had to do a thing last year that I didn't like.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right. Oh, man, that's really funny yeah. that you said that.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's God bless, dude. You've seen the light.
Yeah, it happens.
You committed the ultimate sin.
Yeah.
Is that the ultimate sin?
I think it's...
It's up there.
Top five.
Yeah, top five yeah. sins.
Top five.
Well, dude, all sins are equal in the eyes of the Lord.
Whoa.
That can't be true.
That says that in the beginning.
It cannot be true.
It can't be so true.
Me and Hitler are tied right now.
Yeah. In the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah. Oh, that's not fair.
Well, dude, get your score up.
You got a lot. You got 599. You got 5,999,999. You got to catch up, dude.
Yeah, I got to catch up.
I don't think, yeah, you're going to want to, yeah. You're probably going to want to remove this, but yeah, no, fuck dude, who cares? You got
free
the Hawaiian
internet.
Shirt. Yeah, you got the Hawaiian
shirt. Free speech guardians. Us three.
So you still thinking about working at InfoWars?
I don't know if they'd hire me anymore, man.
Really?
Well,
yeah, now that they know you're fucking lib, dude.
I think people think that I'm like super fucking like libbed out to high heaven. Which I understand because I like have a I'm like an empathetic person and shit. So when I talk to people, I let them tell their story.
Yeah.
So every time I interview like a migrant or something, all these comments are like, "You fucking leftist, fucking libtard." I'm just like, "Damn, I'm just talking to bro." Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't think that's very. I don't think that's wrong.
Yeah, I think people are so like divided and polarized now, and we're like everyone has to fall into either bucket. Like you're either Antifa or you're like a Trump soldier.
Dude, you know what's crazy? The video with you crossing the border didn't get taken down, but your damn ID video did. What the hell? It's crazy.
You
follow didn't get to see the ID thing. What happened?
Well, pretty much like we had this Vegas tunnels documentary, right? And we used 10 seconds of this Fox 5 publicly broadcast clip in this like basically 95-minute video. And they had lawyers hit up YouTube and got our shit taken down, which is illegal. Like, it, you know, because they said it was a fair use violation or copyright violation. Yeah. But they reinstated it about 2 hours ago.
So. Oh, hell yeah.
Let's go. What were they doing on there?
I mean, it was basically just like footage of this nonprofit, like helping people living in the tunnels. And I guess it was their property.
Oh, okay.
So they had an issue with
it. Yeah, I thought there was a conspiracy about it.
There was
no conspiracy.
Well, the conspiracy is like Las Vegas right now is going through like a Disneyland style image rehab. Because it's known for being like a neglected kind of like shitty place, right?
Yeah.
But they just got the Raiders, the Athletics, the Sphere was just built, and Las Vegas is trying to double down and, you know, be a whole new city.
Yeah.
And so the idea of homeless people living in the sewers, basically, below the most expensive casino on the strip is not really positive PR for the town.
Yeah.
And given that like Fox 5 is their biggest news affiliate, I suspect that the mayor or someone high up in Las Vegas City Council was like, yo, how can we get this video down? Let's do a copyright strike.
Mm.
But maybe I'm just on some tinfoil hat shit. But I feel like there was a real plan.
I don't think that's real tinfoil. I think that's perfectly... I thought the tinfoil thing was like, the Dems wanted it down because you were exposing how they're trying to get those guys' IDs to go vote left.
Oh, shit. I didn't even consider that angle.
I'm always thinking from that angle. It's all right. About to vote, huh? I'm always worried about what the Dems are up to.
They're trying to get people to vote, man.
They're trying to get fucking... Yeah, yeah, they're trying to get the...
How long ago did you film that, if I can ask, the Vegas one?
Shit, I filmed that about a year ago now.
Okay. Have you ever, like, have you talked to the guy again? I can't remember his name.
Glenn?
Talk to any of the fellas down there?
Yeah.
Nah, man, because I tried to help as best I could. Yeah. But there's a certain situation where, like, you have a paternal relationship with somebody. I don't want that. I don't want them calling me being like, I need 10 bucks today, 10 bucks tomorrow. So I tried to offer the help. And then from there, you got to guide it yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to change... You're not going to change your situation unless you want to.
Yeah.
And if you have someone coming every day, blowing your high, being like, hey, man, you know, you want to do some day labor? And they're coming down from like a 3-day meth bender. You're going to become their worst enemy.
Yeah. Dude, you literally did the first step of like every addict. They're like, I can't get there. And you did it. And now like, if any, it is up to him now. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what tripped me out is like what I filmed first was the San Francisco streets video, then Philly, then Vegas. And the Vegas video is different because it's like me actually trying to help in some way. Because like when you've been living that way for a long time, a lot of people get used to telling this like story of like, oh, I can't better my life because of this. I can't make a change because I don't have an ID or because my social security check is not coming. But then if you think about it, like a lot of those roadblocks, we already have like $1 billion programs set up to help them. Yeah. It's just a lot of people don't want help, or they do want help, but they don't know how to take that step, bro.
Yeah.
Because people aren't babies, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Like,
no one really likes living on the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But a lot of them are really embarrassed, and they want to make it seem like they're just a victim of bad luck, which in some cases is true. But, dude, you got to think. In the older generation especially, bro, like, it's embarrassing for them to be living like that.
Yeah.
My generation, if you're in your 20s, it's like we're kind of drifters, vagrants, kicking it, van lifers. It's a whole different thing if you're a boomer living in Philly on the streets. That's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
For them. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
For sure.
For everyone.
You ever been homeless like for more than a day before?
No.
Really? You never had a car breakdown in like West Texas and just stuck?
Just stuck.
Yeah, I mean, but I was like on a friend's couch and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Never like outside.
You never slept outside in a park?
I slept
like
in a car in a rest stop, yeah.
Which rest stop was that?
That was on 95 outside of DC. Mm. Or out, yeah. On the way, yeah.
You know what my favorite rest stop is? Breezewood, PA. Have you been?
Breezewood's nice.
It's a nice rest stop. Yeah. The Cracker Barrel there.
Yes,
crazy.
Yes.
Planet Fitness, Cracker Barrel, everything you need.
That's a crazy rest stop, dude.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, you're a rest stop aficionado, dude. You're a big van lifer.
Some could say.
Yeah. How long were you like living in a van for?
Shit, about 2.5 years.
Yeah, okay. Were you tired of it?
What yeah, by like, the end, especially, there's like, you know, living with two other dudes in a car sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, for 2.5 years.
But then the electricity stopped working and the generator was supposed to be like 10,000.
How'd you guys beat off, dude?
You wait till your friends aren't in the RV. Or you make them leave for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you guys got to go to Starbucks.
Gerben just told me a funny story about that. He was, because I did a joke about when you're a kid, you love your mom until you jack off for the first time. And then you're like, as soon as she leaves the house, you're beaten off. And he was like, I heard that. And he remembered his mom coming home one day and like, what do you want for dinner? And he was like, pasta and broccoli. She was like, well, I have to go to the store if you want that. Is there anything else you want? And he was like, you got to get pasta and broccoli. He made his mom run an errand so he could jack off.
Dude, that's how it was. I remember I jacked off for the first time in the bathroom of an Italian restaurant in Seattle.
Damn, I mean. Oh, yeah, grunge life's back.
Dude, I didn't even know what was happening. I went to go wash my hands. So I got soap in my hands and I just touched my dick for a second. I'm like, yo, that was crazy.
Yeah,
that was fire.
That soap,
so I remember it took me about 45 minutes to complete the mission, right? So I'm in there trying to make it work and my parents are banging on the door like, are you okay, Andrew? I'm like, I'm just taking a really gnarly shit. Just give me a second here.
Better than ever. I had no idea I can feel this good.
Yeah, I came out of that shit like a changed man. I was like, I don't know what I just did, but I think I'm the first guy to do it.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Then the homies reported similar situations, and I was like, we're all
everybody starts reporting back around the same time.
By the middle of seventh grade, bro, it is insane. It's everyone's a chronic mess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually my material right now. Really? That's what I'm working with. Yeah, you figured it out.
Yeah.
That's you cracked the code, dude.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, the magician's been revealed. Yeah, that's a fucking insane first one.
Yeah. What about yours?
Mine was actually, I got a wild one. I was sleeping in my friend's house. I was on his family's couch watching porn. while they were like in the kitchen. Yes, I can't believe this.
You're on the couch watching porn or like cooking food?
Yeah, yeah. It was a weird house. You could watch porn there.
What? Really?
Yeah.
With everybody? His parents are super chill.
His parents were so chill.
Would they just come in and be like, I love to see?
They go, oh, what are you guys doing? No. My parents would literally beat my ass.
Yeah, dude. It's weird to let your kids watch porn.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, it's not chill. But I mean, you can't stop them.
When
yeah.
you're a kid, that's it's the chillest house of
it's
all
like,
time.
It's yeah. like when they let you smoke drugs in their house. Like as long as you're doing it here.
Yeah. Oh, I had a friend's mom yeah. like that. We yeah. abused the fuck out of that rule.
Exactly.
We have 20 people over just hotboxing.
That's exactly
puking
what we did.
From fucking greening out. Yeah. She's like, just I'm happy you're doing it here. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what's out there that's so dangerous? Like, yeah. We can't smoke weed at the park now.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was your first? I'd love to
the
hear
first
this.
Beat. I think I was 13. Yeah, it was just in the bed.
Crack one off in the
yeah,
bed
to like the squiggly channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought I saw a boob, and I was like, my cousin's been telling me about this. I might as well try it.
And your life forever changed.
Yeah.
Has yeah. anyone been giving you any guff about sharing a flashlight with your brother yet?
Oh no.
Did we cut that from the last one or something?
No, is this improvised or is this real?
No, this is real.
Nice.
We accidentally, yeah, we shared a flashlight. For
he
a
has a brother
bit.
That's equally. They're the same.
Yeah.
So it's two of these guys. It makes sense why that would happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're pretty close.
Yeah. Real brothers. True brothers.
They're the best. There's two of these guys walking around. And they used to split. They used to have two air mattresses in their room. And they would occasionally, one of them would explode. They both went through air mattresses. He said they'd be sleeping at night. You would just hear someone's bed like. They just have to sink into a fucking forest. Oh, man.
Sleep on the cold ground.
How long does it take for an air mattress to explode if you're doing like nightly?
One of these big fellas? And this is, LeMaire's looking good, dude. He used to be 400 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, congratulations. Yeah, so you were exploding air mattresses.
Jabri was never 400.
No, but he's mad small now.
He's skinny as heck. Jabri got skinny, but he was a unit too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was probably three.
Probably he was easy 350, dude. Yeah, I can see him
350, 400.
Yeah. Holy
Lee brothers a combined 800 pounds. The one ton brothers.
That makes the air mattress shit way funnier.
It's so funny. Just two brothers exploding air mattresses, sharing a flashlight, being 800 pounds. Smashing animals. Did Jabri ever kill any animals too?
He was there with me when we dropped that rock on a bird.
It was the disgusting brothers. Yeah, it was you were out torturing animals?
Yeah, we didn't torture. Me, my brother, and our cousin Jared, we were outside.
Is Jared a big dog?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How big is Jared?
He's like, he's tall too. He's probably like
so he's the leader of the units.
I think I was the leader. You know, I like to think I was the leader.
You got good leadership.
I led all the pizza roll missions.
You led the pizza roll missions.
All the late night pizza roll missions. Yeah.
That is a leader.
Yeah. How many missions a day was that?
Just at night, dude. Whenever the parents, 11 o'clock. We had a strict household.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't watch South Park. I couldn't watch anything past like 10 p.m. Yeah, it's pretty strict.
But then the brothers were out on a mission. You found a bird?
Yeah, it was in the back. It was already under the rock. It was already under the rock. And my cousin was like, yo, guys, look what I found under this rock, a bird. And
he didn't find that. Birds don't go under rocks, dude. Birds don't get under rocks.
It was there. It was under the rock. And then I lifted it up, and I dropped it, and it went... Like squeaked.
Oh no, it was alive.
No, it was dead. I think it was just all the air leaving its body, I hope.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, and maybe you need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Yes, and you should also always strive to understand yourself. Therapy is an excellent tool for that, so go do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/MSSP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MSSP. Lucy is made for your nicotine routine and delivered straight to your door. It's 100% pure nicotine and always tobacco-free. You can choose your preferred form, pouches, breakers, or gum, and you can choose your strength from 2 milligrams to 12 milligrams. Flavors include mint, apple, ice, espresso, mango, and more. Save yourself from the weekly gas station stop and sign up for a monthly subscription, which saves you 15%. No commitment, cancel anytime. And I have been exploring the dark arts of nicotine, actually. A lot of those health guys say it's good for your brain or something, but I don't know. I have yet to become addicted to it, and that's for you guys, not for me. The product that sets Lucy apart is Lucy Breakers. It's nicotine pouches, but with tiny capsules inside. The capsules contain liquid flavor that saturates the pouch before it's even in use. Break it with your teeth, and boom, instant nicotine release when you need it. Let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/drenched and use promo code drenched to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. Lucy.co and use code drenched to get 20% off and always free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. The offer is good through April 30th. Get started at Robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024 validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRA available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer.
There's a rapper in Kensington right now named Skrilla who's been sacrificing animals for his rap videos.
Whoa.
Like decapitating goats and shit and using Kensington junkies as like extras in his fucking background. So I gotta send you guys this shit. It's, wow. It is horrific.
Is he sacrificing goats on Kensington?
Yeah, in the alleyways.
What?
Yeah.
The cops are letting voodoo happen.
He's
now
like
too?
A demonic Kensington trank drill rapper.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. I'll take the under on that life expectancy. That's fucking wild.
Price big
trank drill rapper.
Yeah, it's...
I hope one of those goats gets loose.
Yeah,
make it.
Where do you get goats from in Philly, Jersey?
You can get goats in Philly.
Well, so recently this hasn't came out yet, but I know exactly where to get goats in the Philly area. If anyone wants to know. You got to do it in Jersey. So we have an episode coming out called it's called The Hunt for the Jersey Devil. Are you guys familiar with the mythical beast?
Yes.
So we went hunting with this actual unit of researchers who believe that it's real.
Yeah.
And so they said, if you want to find the devil, you got to get a bunch of goat's blood because the Jersey Devil's a distant cousin of the goat. So we had to go to a goat farm in Jersey and we're like, can we have some goat's blood? And we get there and they fucking kill this goat basically out back and bring us a giant jar of blood to hunt the devil with.
Oh, man.
And so, yeah.
They just literally kill a goat
bullshit.
We didn't
kill a goat for a
We didn't ask them to fucking Sasquatch. Kill it. We go, hey, dude, do you have any extra goat's blood laying around? They're like, oh, we don't have any right now, but we'll take care of it. We can hear this goat get killed. Jesus
they
Christ.
They really scream too. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Did you find the devil?
No.
Damn. I seen it.
You saw the New Jersey Devil?
I saw the devil. Me and Jabir were driving back from Ramapo. We saw it on the road. I was like, oh no. I was so scared.
You guys saw the Jersey Devil?
Yeah, I was so spooked, dude.
Sounds terrifying.
It sounds like you're making that up.
I'm not making it up, dude. We saw the Jersey Devil. It was like a dog. It had horns. And it was up like this.
Sounds like you really saw it.
Yeah, I saw it, dude.
You guys high as fuck?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. We're a little high.
What did you guys do to celebrate seeing the devil? Did you pull
we
up?
We didn't celebrate.
Roy Rogers?
I hit the next Wawa. I was like, did you fucking see that, dude? Some Roy Rogers. Roy Rogers is the best rest
That's
stop food.
Crazy. That's one of the worst rest stops.
Roy Rogers is the best
Roy Rogers is a letdown.
What? You get to make your own burgers to tenders? Roy Rogers tenders are top tier.
Yeah, those are solid tendies.
I'll give that to you. Some good tendies.
Solid tendies. Sheetz has good tendies.
Sheetz does have some good tendies.
I was gonna
Sheetz
ask
has
you.
The best tendies.
Sheetz or Wawa? What do you think?
Wawa's the hoagies. That's where it's at. Mm. But Sheetz has a fryer. So you can get some good tendies.
Fryer.
Although I think Wawa might have fryers now too, right?
Wawa has pizza.
Oh, really? Yeah, they don't have the tendies.
Yeah.
Sometimes all you need is some tendies, and Sheetz is the answer.
Yeah. You can't microwave tendy; they come out too wet.
Yeah, it's so true, dude. Yeah. Shane, you feel like you connect more with like the Pittsburgh or Philly area?
Growing up was Mechanicsburg way more like Pittsburgh. Mm. Yeah, like once you get past Lancaster, it's kind of like just the Midwest.
Yeah, it's a whole different world up there.
Yeah, outside of Philly, actually, as soon as you leave Philly, it's kind of
it's kind of
the Midwest. And then Lamezi is a Detroit man.
I was born there. Yeah.
So when you smashed the bird, was that in Detroit?
Yeah, that was in Detroit.
Well, that bird had it coming.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't.
What was he doing in Detroit?
I thought I hallucinated black squirrels for most of my life, but they only like kind of
there.
Yeah, yeah. I thought.
Wait, you thought you hallucinated black squirrels, but you're certain you saw the New Jersey Devil?
Well, here's why I thought I hallucinated a black squirrel, because when I saw it. It was eating a rib bone on like a trash can.
That was a Detroit squirrel, dude. He was getting some ribs.
That's what I was like,
squirrel said, shit, we'll get some ribs. The animals probably knew to stay away from the Lee brothers, dude. Nah, you're Omar, dude. They heard you coming.
We did kick our dog in the nuts. That was pretty fun.
I heard about that. I remember that story.
You've never done that?
I would never kick a dog like that.
Really?
No.
Why not?
Because they're dogs, dude. You don't kick them in the balls.
Me and Jabri would kick each other in the balls. We'd do it for fun. There's an episode. This is probably why our mom didn't let us watch South Park. Because there was an episode of South Park where they did Rochambeau. And they would just kick each other in the nuts. And then me and Jabri just started doing that because we're like, that looks fun.
Did you guys build up tolerance?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like,
that's good battle for all the bullies.
Yeah, practicing getting kicked.
Yeah, you guys can't hurt the Lee brothers. The Lee brothers hurt themselves.
Yeah, getting kicked in the nuts is horrible.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's only happened to me once or twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as a kid, I didn't. I was like 10 or 11.
Yeah,
didn't
before
hurt
puberty, it doesn't hurt that much.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
When they're still small.
Yeah. But it, yeah, once like sixth, seventh grade hits and everyone starts hitting the fucking like the nut taps at school, that was a devastating time period.
Nut taps, yeah.
Yeah.
The full body.
Yeah. So you were out in Seattle. How old were you when you moved to Seattle?
About 11 years old.
Okay. Did you get to play any cool sports while you're in Seattle?
No.
It's not a sports town.
For me, as soon as I started smoking weed, all sports went away.
Yeah.
It is like a path when you're 13 where like you divide between stoners and athletes.
Yes.
And I'm happy to take path one. But before then, I was a first baseman.
Nice.
Actually, Fairmont Sports Association MVP of 2007.
Oh, sheesh.
If you want to look it up.
Fuck, you were an MVP in 07?
Yeah, we lost to Germantown in the last game.
Damn.
Aside from that, I did pretty good.
You're an MVP and you chose the drug life?
Well, I mean, it was just weed.
You're like Daryl Strawberry.
But no, I've never been a sports guy. Mostly because I moved so like when I was 12. So
yeah,
I was an Eagles fan and a Phillies fan. I get to Seattle and like they had the Sonics and shit.
Are you a Seahawks fan now?
Yeah. A little bit. I have a hard time like following sports. I don't know. Yeah. It's just boring as fuck to me.
That's fair. It's pretty boring.
Because it's not real.
What do you mean?
I feel like it's all rigged. You know what I mean? Like. They're like for-profit fake, divisions between regional areas in America.
Yeah.
They're trying to distract us from having like true liberated thoughts, guys.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
It's true. Whoa, yeah. People live and die behind these logos and these teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're right. Yeah, I still like sports, though.
They're fun. But, like, people's whole lives are dependent on like whether or not their team wins or loses. Like, dude, there's some Eagles fans. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. Who like their year will suck if they don't make the playoffs, no matter what.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Our friend Tommy's like that. Tommy gets like, Yeah, the Phillies, wasn't that the Phillies? The Phillies lost them. He put a fucking hole in the wall while they were watching it.
Jesus Christ.
And I lived with him. I was like, he watched fucking two regular season games. He didn't watch the season at all. And then they got to the playoffs and he's like, fuck. This is crazy.
Dude, I'm the same way. I'm not going to lie, man.
Yeah, it's exciting.
2008 when the Phillies won, that was the best fucking game of my life. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they rioted, dude. I lived on Broad Street at 13th, like right, and I could see the street. Like they were pulling people out of cars, just like beating people up. It was sick.
The roster was so sick at that time. That Ryan Howard, yes. Jimmy Rollins, Roy Victorino and shit.
Victorino was the bro.
J-Roll was my favorite baseball player of all time. He was like my role model when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good role model.
Yeah, I wonder what he's doing now.
Guy. He's around.
He's probably living. Yeah.
Doing his thing.
Yeah.
He does like stuff with the field. I see him do like sports broadcasting.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. They'll bring him in.
Why don't sports guys ever become like men's motivation dudes? I feel like that would be like a natural path. Like men's motivation, car sell guy, you know?
Men's motivation is sick, dude.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that full Andy Elliott on Instagram?
Yes.
The car salesman?
Yes.
He gets me amped, dude. I want to sell cars now. Yeah. I want to make some sales, dude.
We discuss Elliott a lot.
Okay.
We're part of Elliott Army here.
You guys signed up for the online package?
No, not yet. Not yet, but we're considering
it. It'll really help you level up, bro.
How much money do you make a year selling cars?
I don't have a six pack yet. So
if somebody, true. I got to get a six pack before I can join the Elliott Army. I'm never going to get in, dude.
Yeah.
We got on that, and I was hating on him for a while. Mm. First couple times I saw it, I was like, fuck this guy.
On what grounds? What was your initial hatred?
The first hatred was how fucking dumb the one thing he said was, which was like, how many cars could you sell in a month? And the guy's like, 20. And he's like, what if I kidnapped your family and said you have to sell 40 this month or I'll kill your family? Bug. And he was like, well, then of course I could. And he's like, and you're not doing it. Why? He's like, well, because no one's got my wife at gunpoint. Like, what are you talking about?
He's like, Elliott Army's on the way.
Yeah, Elliott Army's going to kidnap her. but then I kept watching it, and it's pretty good. The guy's fired up. He's excited about life.
He makes me want to exercise.
It's hard to hate on him. Yeah.
You guys have any other favorite men's motivational speakers online?
My number one right now is a guy named Luke Belmar.
What's up with him?
Belmar.
You wouldn't believe it. He's just a guy. He copied Andrew Tate, and now he's not necessarily a men's like workout guy, but he's like an entrepreneurial type.
Yeah,
but he has some of these takes you wouldn't believe. They're like, who is your mentor? He was like, Leonardo da Vinci.
I'm gonna steal that one. That's amazing.
You understand mentor?
Do you follow this guy, Davis Clark?
No, I don't know.
He's like this locked in ass like marathon runner from Boston. Yeah. Who's really excited about going to the corporate office every morning?
Yeah.
I'm making a fucking documentary about him.
Really?
If I have a question.
Oh, this guy.
Because I know you're a man of mystery. There's two types of chefs. Those that work for profit and those that work for passion. Do you agree? Do you have a secret pasta? The secret pasta that you can make me.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah. Grazie.
This is one of my favorite styles. Tagliatelle con cibo. Very simple, very tasty.
Like mother used to make it.
Thank you, sir.
He got the secret pasta. That's how a boss eats.
I didn't know what that guy's name was, but
Luke
I see
Belmar.
Him on my
That's
feed
how
all the time.
Boss eats.
Yeah, I remember he was talking to some college kids. He's like, how many of you guys could ask a homie right now for a 500K wire? And they were like, none of us. He's like, because you don't hang out with fucking bosses. You need to upgrade your social network. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit.
He has one. He's sitting there and he's like, what do banks do? Rivers, banks control the current. What is a current? Currency. If you can control where the current's going, you can let the water, the currency, come to you. And everybody in the room had to be like,
he's doing the beautiful mind solutions.
Yeah, he's doing beautiful mind solutions with like a pretty low IQ. He might not be low IQ. I think that's his second language. I'm going to turn and be a fan of Luke Belmar in a month.
Yeah, so. I mean, at least he's on a positive tip, I guess.
He is positive.
Yeah.
He is positive. Certainly. So who's this guy you're looking at?
So Davis Clark, aka the Locked In UMass
Locked
King.
In.
So every morning he posts shit. He's like, yesterday he was like, I don't have to go to the office on Monday. I get to go to the office on Monday. Here come the heavy hitters. We're locked in.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, so I know this fucking guy.
It's fucking, yeah. It's him at work. He's like, another day at the office.
His mouth always open the
always
entire time.
Always
Yeah, I've seen this guy.
Yo, so I got his number and I'm going to Boston to do a documentary about
it. Hell yeah.
I just watched. He just linked with the 25-year-old DC Bachelor. You ever see that guy?
No, I haven't.
What's his name? Tony P. They linked like recently. I saw a video of them at the steakhouse together, and they're like, "It's great to be here with Tony P." And Tony P's like, "Let's go, man. We got steaks coming." Yeah,
yeah. Those guys are the ideal employees for any company. Yeah,
fucking right,
they will
dude.
Never betray you. They'll give 100%.
Yeah, that's it. Those are the funniest dudes possible. Tony P. You gotta see Tony P.
What's best about them?
Oh,
is
shit,
like,
my bad.
They didn't like mean to be famous. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he just wanted to genuinely post the shit, and now the whole world's watching.
Yeah. They literally want to just inspire people.
Now that's like Pookie, though. Millions. You watch Pookie? Pookie and Jet. Those are good people.
Are they motivational?
It's just, no, it's just employees. Rich. It's just two rich Southerners.
Oh, sick.
Jet just keeps buying Pookie nice shit. And he's like, Pookie, you look amazing tonight. Pookie, what are you wearing tonight?
She's like, this jacket's from fucking...
It's great.
I can't wait to watch
it. It's really wholesome. What did fucking Pookie do?
Pookie was in hot water for wearing an antebellum dress at a party in her college days.
Antebellum, like during the slave times?
Sort of, but well, it wasn't, you know... They're from the South. Yeah. I feel like everyone used to do that.
Who the fuck
South.
Didn't think Jet and Pookie were clearly racist?
Yeah, I don't know. They were in hot
You've
water,
never seen
though.
Them, you go, these are somehow still slave owned. They own slaves now.
They figured it out.
They're definitely owning they slaves. Figured it out. I looked up, actually, McCaffrey did. That's hilarious. Christian McCaffrey was like obsessed with Pookie and Jet.
Yeah.
And then he looked into Jet, the guy. I think his name's Jet. The guy's a fucking genius. He finished like top of his class at Penn. Like, Jet's the fucking man, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You genius. Watch it, you're like, this guy's a fucking idiot. But just the way he's like, I don't know, he's like autistically talking to his
bae.
Yeah, you gotta see the boy.
Oh, he's a handsome Southern man.
He's a Southern like gentleman.
Yeah. He's put together.
He's the best. Pookie's
babe.
So she was wearing an antebellum slave owner outfit. Was it a relic from that time, or was it in the style of that time?
I think it was in the style of that time.
I think that's totally exciting. Isn't that like
a themed
princess?
Party?
Sounds like a hatchet job.
It was. It was sort of.
It sounds like they pissed off the Matrix, right?
Wait, they were in Aspen? They were in Aspen.
Oh.
That's a big deal, dude. Pookie's.
You didn't link?
No. You gotta link with them.
They're having dinner at steak places.
Steak places.
They're going to fucking steak places.
Top tier steak places.
Pookie.
Andrew, do you have a favorite interview?
Damn, that's a tough one because like, there's the most impactful interviews, but there's also my personal favorites.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What do you think comes to mind as like your favorite Channel 5 show you've seen?
I liked the January 6th one with the QAnon Shaman.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. With the Q Shaman. That was pretty good.
Yeah. That was fun to watch him just like screaming in the park and the other guy.
Yeah.
The guy that linked you guys.
Oh,
just brought you there.
Kelly J.
You
Patriot.
And shit. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Kelly's a real homie.
Oh no. It was in the I think it was in the movie.
Oh,
the guy that ended up actually having charges for
Enrique Tarrio?
Was that the guy that was like a pedophile hunter?
Oh,
and then
yeah.
You sat down with him and you're like, what's this?
Pedo Dave.
And he was like, what the fuck is that?
Well, yeah, because like we had found this guy.
Here's your mugshot for being a pedophile. He was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. Who sent you that? The CIA?
No, it was crazy. Because we found this guy on BitChute or some shit. And he was like, I'm Dave the pedophile hunter. And he's like, every day he exposes a new pedophile. He's like, today, Eminem. The next day, it's like Chris Tucker. And he's saying it. And then he was like, Ice Cube, like everybody.
Yeah.
So I looked the guy's name up and he has like, he's a convicted child molester. So I'm like, you'd think he'd want to drift away from talking about that kind of stuff, but no, he wanted to really own it.
He's hunting him down.
But off camera, he gave me some whole explanation where like the deep state state set him up because he was criticizing the pharmacies for prescribing Adderall to the kids in the Boy Scout troop that he was a leader of. And so the Adderall lobby and the Ritalin lobby took him down on false charges. And I was like, really?
I hope not.
So what, he was a boy pedo?
He was a Boy Scout leader.
Oh, no.
And you know what's more fucked up? In Bed-Stuy in like the 70s.
Oh, no.
So like he was like commuting into the inner city black neighborhood to be a Boy Scout leader and then doing molestation.
He totally
so
turned Jay-Z into
a Oh, yeah. Ew, they were black? God, that's even worse.
I honestly did kind of feel bad about that scene, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't do something
like
that.
Yeah, you weren't
again.
Trying to do like a gotcha thing, but.
You kind of build a glass house when you do shit like that. You know what I mean? You kind of seem like this like ball buster person who like you know, misleads interview subjects. So now if I was to meet him, I'd be like, hey, I happen to see online that, you know, you have these charges. Can we talk about that? But, you know, I don't like, my style's changed a lot since those days. Too. Yeah. I don't like ambushing people.
Dude, your style's changed so freaking much, dude. You've evolved.
I had to.
It's so good. It's so great.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I was talking to you outside about it. The end of the Trump convoy thing at the border. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great when you were like, let's not make fun of these guys. Let's figure out why they're doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't help at all when people show up and are like, look how dumb these people are. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's only going to make them more against you. I don't know. Although I will say, I saw not that this is totally similar to what we're talking about. I saw a black dude wearing a MAGA shirt yesterday when I was leaving the airport. Yeah. Shit pumps me up, dude. I can't deny it. That shit fires me up. See a fucking black dude who's jacked wearing a MAGA, like the fucking Predator shield on it. The Punisher. I always say Predator.
It's Punisher.
He got the Punisher shield on there. I was like, let's go, brother.
I wonder if it was MAGA Hulk that you saw.
MAGA Hulk.
He wasn't that, but he wasn't Hulk status. Okay.
Because there's a huge black bodybuilder dude who's like Trump's most loyal California
MAGA Hulk.
California I appreciate that you like
but
that
part. But that part was, I think that's the most important part of it.
I think that like 95% of people don't have hate in their hearts. I think that they think that they're advocating for the right cause. So when you talk to people, it's not like they're spewing racist bullshit or whatever. Like they're just normal people who think they're there for the right reasons. So you got to figure out why. Start with that, lead with that, and then see if you can have a real conversation. But too much of the news already has the agenda laid out. So you're going in hot trying to make people look a certain way because you want to rise in the ranks of whatever corporate newsroom that you're working at. And the same, it's also on the conservative side. You feel me? Like they don't want to possibly admit that they're wrong about anything. And so when I was at that trucker convoy, it was half like mainstream Democrat reporters from like ABC and Comedy Central who are there to make them look as stupid as possible. And the other half is conservatives who are just raising funds and just like figuring out how to make money off the situation. Like, oh, can you Zell me for gas money so we can go defend the border? It's the typical playbook of like, because the on the conservative side, it's more like just individuals hustling their supporters for money. Whereas on like the more like Democrat side, it's like a larger force at play.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But everyone's finessing in their own lane.
Yeah. I'm about to become a conservative. I'm about to start finessing. Can you give me some gas money?
You're finessing me, motherfucker. I'm your sponsor.
I brought candy.
You did get some candy. You got jelly beans, dude.
Jelly beans is the best candy.
Jelly beans is not the best candy. That's a crazy take.
It's not.
No?
It's across the board. Everyone's going to disagree with you.
Jelly beans are so fucking good, dude.
Jelly beans are the best candy. They're not top 10.
They're top 10 for Easter.
For Easter, they're top 10. Just a deep breath. Top 10 for Easter.
Bro was like letting that stew for like 30 seconds. He was like, fuck.
Top 10 for Easter. Yeah, yeah,
Steve. Going to La Grotta with some of our great friends from Austin.
Shit, they're here.
Quintessential Palm Beach, baby. I absolutely love this. It's giving Palm Beach vibe, Nantucket vibes, Chanel vibes. What do you want?
Why does he sound like
Thank
that?
Thank you, Ray.
What fucking accent is that? Kentucky vibes. Yeah. I've never heard anyone sound like that anywhere.
Yeah, he's awesome, dude.
Yeah, that's fucking sick.
He's the man. People were trying to hate on him at first. Now they love him. Now they're like, everyone loves Pookie and Jet. I think,
Shout out Pookie and Jet.
Yeah, they will.
Shout out to them, bro.
Luke Belmar's the fucking man, dude. I'm back on Luke. Nothing but positive vibes, dude. I don't want to make fun of these anybody.
No, hell no. Only positivity up in here.
Luke Belmar's the fucking man.
He is. All these people we talked about.
They are really funny. So Elliot Army fucking rules.
Elliot is my favorite. I want to talk to him so bad. Like, I want to go to one of these sales conferences.
Yeah.
Because being a used car salesman is inherently built on like deception.
I sold cars.
You sold them.
I sold cars, and that's one of the reasons also I had like an instant dislike for it.
Mm.
Was like, I was imagining if I showed up to work and they're like, we're going to a work conference today, or like there was a mandatory work conference at my dealership, you have to be one of the people in that conference room where he's like going around like, you're fat. I'd be sitting there like, dude, I'm fucking done, dude. I'm selling cars. I got a guy call me fat. He's like, do you love selling your cars? Do you fucking love it? It's like, no, I don't want to do this.
What kind of dealership was it?
It was a Honda dealership.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, real low pressure. It was great.
Yeah, at least you're selling reliable cars.
Yeah, I was like, do you want a quarter or a CRV or whatever? We got it. And if you don't want it, that's fine.
So what is the main way to make sure that you land a sale?
I was not the best salesman. Mm. I was too low pressure. I was genuinely like, if you leave this dealership, go to our competitors, get a price from them, come back, I'll have to match it or beat it. Mm. I don't care how much you pay for the car. I'd rather you pay the cheapest amount. And I would go in and get them the slip to show them how much we paid for the car.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is close to as low as I can get it.
So you weren't deceiving these people?
No, but they thought I was because I was doing all that.
Yeah.
There were certain people that were like, you fucking scumbag.
Yeah.
And I was like, I swear to God, I don't want to be here.
Was
I just
that
got out of college.
In Mechanicsburg?
Yeah.
Nice. Where'd you go to college at?
Westchester.
Oh my God, where I was born.
Yeah,
Westchester. Well, I was born at Bryn Mawr Hospital.
Hell yeah.
Did you go to college at the same time that Asher Roth made the I Love College anthem?
I was there when it was going around. It was,
oh my
it
God.
Was, let me see.
What that a legendary was, that was time.
Huge.
Had to be like 2010. 2010, 2011.
I think it was, yeah, I Love College.
Was the album Sleeping in the Bread Owl?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to go to college for the rest of my life.
I mean, he's 38. It was probably around the same time.
He's 38. See, I'm still in college.
What year? Yeah, it was right when I got there.
Did you live in the borough?
Yeah, I lived. Yeah,
nice.
In town. It was awesome.
That's sick.
That's where we're filming our show. That's on Netflix. So I was just there
in Westchester.
I was in Westchester yesterday.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah, right. you and Bam Margera, two Westchester legends.
I love it.
There's a high cultural output.
I believe Modest Yahoo.
Modest Yahoo is from Westchester?
I believe.
He does like a monthly show at Stubbs here.
Asher Roth, Modest Yahoo, Bam, and me.
Yeah. I guess.
Although I'm a Kingsburg. I'm a Kingsburg all day.
Yeah.
Modest Yahoo is Westchester. Let's go.
Dude, so the SNL moment. You tired of talking about it or what?
No, I don't care. It was pretty neat.
To have that full circle, like, did you feel like more gratitude or more vengeance?
Definitely, I don't want to say gratitude because that's lame, but yes.
Like, were you like, fuck yeah, fuck you guys, I'm back? Or was
no,
it like,
no, no. There was no.
That's good.
There was almost no part of me that was like, yeah, in your fucking face.
So you've just grown a lot the past couple of years.
I didn't really feel that way then either. Mm. Like, when I was getting fired, I was kind of like, yeah.
So you just like, you just take shit in stride, basically.
Kind of good or bad, yeah.
Kind of the whole time you're like, I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, the entire time. I was like, there's no way I'm getting hired on this. Yeah. And I did think it was funny. As soon as I got done with my monologue, there were articles about how I sucked and I bombed.
Mm.
That was funny. After the show, I was like, there was a part, I was in the car on the way to the after party, and I was like, I'll look at the internet now. I turned my phone off the whole week because I knew everything was going to be that type of shit. And then I was like, yeah, let's see what the internet can't talk shit on that.
Right.
Let's see what the fucking liberals have to say now. And it was like Yahoo News, Shane Gillis bombs. That was like a headline. I was like, oh, man.
You definitely did not bomb.
No, I didn't. I was happy with it. Mm. It was really cool. It was very nice. My family was there. It was it was like happy. I was happy for like an hour after the show.
You got an hour of happiness?
I got an hour. Hey, it's rare.
It's more than most people get.
Yeah, it felt good.
As far as bombing, like that seems like the most difficult part of becoming a stand-up comedian, right?
Yeah.
Just that fucking pressure of perhaps doing that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. LeMaire, you're an expert.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Absolute silence and no joy.
That's the worst. Like, at least if people hate it,
yeah,
you can be like, yeah, fuck you. Yeah. In a fight. I did a show, I'd say it was like 2 years ago. It was at the Cellar. There's a club downstairs I killed, and then I had to go straight away upstairs, and I was on next. So this is all within 2 minutes of getting off stage. I got on stage on the next show and got zero. Like, not even – no one was upset. No one was laughing. It was just dead silence.
Just stone-faced
for 15 fucking minutes.
Oh, Jesus.
Of just quiet. And then I did a Trump impression at the end, and they were like, yeah, this is really funny. And I was like, no, fuck you guys, dude. You guys hated me.
Were you in Portland or something?
No, it was in New York. It was just hit a rare fucking absolute zero from the
flat
jump.
Tire.
And I think it was because I went in with the energy of like, I just killed down there. Because in your head, you're like, this crowd's going to be hot too. They loved me downstairs. You go up to you're like, hey, what's up, everybody? Just instantly, they're like, ew.
Yeah. We did a fucking tour for Channel 5 for the movie we did a couple years ago. And like, I have no idea how to do stand-up, but I had to do like a 10-minute monologue before every screening. And so I was doing so badly at first that I would just start complimenting the city the whole time. And everyone was like, yeah. So I remember I got in Fresno and I was like, you know what, guys? People want to come to California. They want to go to San Diego, Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, San Francisco, but there's no California without Fresno. And everyone's like, yeah. So I would just filibuster for 10 minutes straight by being like, let's go Bulldogs. You know what I mean? Like, I just went over to the Trader Joe's, that place is awesome. And I just kept going and it worked for me. So that's my strategy.
Oh, that really works.
People respond to regional appeasement.
Yeah, they really do.
Did you guys talk to Jeffrey Johns down by the highway?
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Cincinnati was the easiest because of the Skyline Chili. I just brought the chili on stage and like pulled it out of my fucking jacket. I was like, look what I got. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, don't you guys hate Cleveland? And they're like, fuck Cleveland. It became so easy.
Yeah, that's very fun. You can do that. That's very easy.
Yeah.
It's more fun to go on and make fun of it, to shit on it.
What do you think is the easiest city to shit on?
Peoria.
Peoria. The people of Peoria got very upset with me. I guess on Rogan I said it was the biggest shithole I've ever been to. The guy who works, somebody from like the government there, sent me like a care package of like a shirt that's very funny. It's like, Peoria, it's not that bad. I take it back. Peoria is not that bad. It's not the worst. The worst city to perform in I've ever had was Bakersfield, California.
Wow.
That was the worst.
How come?
They were just rowdy. It was all like oil workers, like dudes that worked on an oil rig. They're in the oil fields.
They're pent up, bro.
Yeah. They were just hammered yelling. They were having fun, but it's hard to try to do your little act while dudes are out there like,
take the Trump now. Sides.
Yeah.
Where's Matt?
Indiana's got some rough spots.
Oh, yeah. Indianapolis.
Indiana, yeah. I actually like Indianapolis.
Which one? Gary's pretty rough, too.
Gary's fucking rough.
Gary doesn't exist.
Everyone's living in a shed there.
Yeah.
Have you seen the houses there? It's fucking wild.
Isn't that where Michael Jackson's from?
Yeah.
And Freddie Gibbs.
They got some good ones. Mm-hmm. Peoria's got, what's his name? They got Kinnison and Pryor.
Yeah.
Dude, I was on the plane like a month ago in first class, and I was sitting next to this Anheuser-Busch representative.
Sick.
And I was like, how you doing? He's like, we're fucking coming back. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, we got fucking Shane Gillis. I'm like, really? He's like, all that shit from last year? No one's even going to fucking remember that. He's like, we got this shit. He's like, don't tell anybody. I was like, I won't. He's like, we got fucking Shane. He was amped up, bro. I know he's going to watch this, man.
Yeah, they're going to be pumped, dude.
Yeah, dude.
They're pumped. You know what's funny is that's how they are. A lot of those guys.
Yeah, bro.
I'm friends with a lot of those guys. I'm sure I knew the person it was.
Probably so.
Yeah. They get fired up. They came to Austin. They came to Rogan's club and they got after it. It was like the night we were like agreeing on me signing with Bud Light, and they got after it.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
I mean, thank God something was done, because I was in like central Iowa and I ordered a Bud Light, and dude, it was intense. I was like, I'll grab a Bud Light. And they're like, you want that rainbow beer? And I was like, what? They're like, here you go. Here's your Bud Light. Everyone's like, I'm like, fuck you guys, man.
Yeah, they held it down. A lot of dudes held it down.
Oh, they were like, pissed.
Walked through you.
Yeah. And they're like, where are you guys from? California? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, I'm not going there. I was like, why? There you go. I've seen the videos. I'm like, of what? I know what videos they're talking about, but he was like, the ones with the stealing. Yeah, I was like, did I do that?
A lot of bros call flack for supporting Bud Light during the dark times.
I held so strong, dude.
Yeah, held it down.
Held it down.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, we're gonna be back, dude.
Yeah, people really overreacted about that shit.
I know,
it's like, calm the fuck down.
The thing is it didn't fuck any of the people that made any of those decisions at Bud Light. It only fucked all the distributors, all these like normal dudes.
Yeah.
Like middle class, they got fucked.
Right.
You know? Not yeah. like.
I don't know if you saw like Sturgis Bike Week last year. They had like a Bud Light tent that was just like, totally vacant. And all right next to it's like Coors and Miller. You can't even fucking walk around. I was like, Jesus, guys.
Yeah, go grab a Bud, dude. My dad's on it. My dad's holding strong now.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
or against Bud Light?
He's four.
Oh, nice.
But now he lives in Mechanicsburg, so he goes to like shitty bars.
Yeah, I love
where the like bars at first there. They like hand you a Bud Light and they're like.
Yeah.
My dad's just sitting there by himself just.
If you go to a bar in Mechanicsburg, do you see Steelers flags and shit?
Yeah, there's a lot of Steelers fans.
Yeah.
Mechanicsburg's a lot of Steelers. Mechanicsburg's split, say 60-40 Steelers.
There's some Ravenheads in there too.
Oh yeah, a lot of Ravens.
Why?
It's close to Baltimore. Yeah. Baltimore's the closest.
I love that place.
Yeah. Baltimore?
Yeah.
Weird Boston.
People hate on it, but it's sick.
Yeah. There's some good parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fells Point. Hamden.
Yeah.
Hamden. Two Hamden men.
Dude, I was in Boston. Boston's so nice.
It's sick.
I can't believe how nice, like, the nice part of Boston is, like, but it's easily the nicest Northeast city.
Even, like, around Boston is nice, too. Like, yeah. You just, like, leave, like.
Yeah, Cambridge is nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somerville, Everett,
Foxborough, is that it? That's where the Patriots
play. It's out there, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Hell yeah, bro. What's your favorite city?
My favorite state? City?
City.
City? Right here in Austin, Texas, brother. It's pretty really? Nice. It's actually pretty nice. Yeah, like
Austin's pretty fucking yeah. good.
Every time I go somewhere else, I'm like, I can't wait to get back
can't
to
wait
Austin.
To get home, yeah. dude.
Get back to that nice long day.
Nashville's fun.
Yeah.
Nashville rules.
You guys ever been to Yuma, Arizona?
No.
It's nice.
I have. I was out there. I was staying at Bisbee, Arizona. Mm. That's not too far.
Wild West town.
Yeah.
Is Yuma, is that after the movie, 310?
The movie's after.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Technically the hottest city in the U.S. It's like 128 in the summer.
God damn. I can't go to any like really hot places. Like I know I'm gonna be a complete puddle this summer. Mm. But like
I can't. You really need to start doing Pookie and Jet videos. Where I get to fucking dress you up. I go, Pookie looks absolutely stunning today. He's wearing swim trunks and a Hawaiian shirt. Pookie looks amazing tonight. He's got on these Skechers from Target.
Yeah, these shoes are sick, man.
Thanks. I just got these
off
the internet.
I didn't know you had shoe swag.
Are they?
Yes, bro. What the hell?
Yes.
You're like a graffiti writer from Australia with those.
Yeah. Draw a fucking swastika. Put a fucking spray paint a swastika on this fucking Aborigine's house. That type of graffiti or what type of graffiti?
Yeah, that type of graffiti.
Talking about a guy outside of LeBron James' house that one time?
Wait, what happened to LeBron James' house?
I don't know. I think it was a false flag. Dude.
Okay. He tried to get Rusty Wallace.
I think that one was a false flag.
Was the NASCAR guy? That was
NASCAR
a false flag.
Was a false flag.
Bubba Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
That was a false flag.
That destroyed Talladega race weekend for a lot of people.
It did.
Shit, back when I used to go to Talladega, like it was way more rowdy.
Yeah.
Now that kind of polarized the community.
Are you a raceman? Do you like races?
I like the people at the races, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's funny.
I like to be in the lot across the street where all the camper vans are at.
Yeah,
shit.
Okay.
Speaking of false flag graffiti, do you guys remember that white guy from Ohio who like said that he was being targeted by like anti-white vandals? And he spray painted his own house with like Crips rule and shit. You guys got to look this up.
Holy shit, that's so funny.
I'm going to go talk to him. Because he still stands strong. He's like, no, they did this.
Yeah. They did it. I love when dudes stand strong after.
Is there like proof of him actually doing it? Or
no, like- but it's like he lives in the middle of the suburbs. And like it's like Blacks rule, Crips rock, like all this crazy shit. You know what I mean? It's
people
like
rule.
Whitey sucks, all this shit. And he's like, they're coming after me now. It's like, I don't think they are.
They actually might. If I was a kid, I would do that. So if there was one white guy in the neighborhood, yeah. I was a black kid, and yeah. I'd go do that. I'd throw rocks at his house.
Yeah.
Not if it was the other way around, but yes, in that scenario, yes.
Yeah, you're a little black kid.
If I was a little black kid and there was one white house,
yeah
I'd be all over
it.
I'd be all over that fucking house.
Yeah, burn a cross on his lawn.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. Now, that my favorite holding it down was the translator, the guy that got on stage with Obama in South Africa. It was a thing for Nelson Mandela. And the guy pretended he was a translator and just stood on stage directly next to Barack Obama, just like,
He didn't speak sign language.
He had no idea. He had never done
shit.
Turns out they go to his house to interview him. And he was like, I'm fucking schizophrenic. He's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. He's like, yeah, I got out of a mental hospital and went straight there.
Wait, so nobody even hired him?
No.
Holy shit.
Showed up and was like, I'm the interpreter. You can do that. People, there's a whole thing of people getting in trouble for being a fake interpreter.
Just showing up.
Well, and there's, sometimes they're very serious. Sometimes it's like a missing woman or like they found the body of a child or something and there's somebody at the police press conference next to it like
that's amazing.
Yeah, just up there.
Yeah, the peekaboo murder case.
The peekaboo murder. Oh man, so you're sticking around tonight?
I think so, man. I'm down.
Damn, should those we? Bud Lights look nice on you. Those
hey,
kicks.
Yeah. By the way, this guy gifted me these sick ass Bud Light Air Force Ones.
They keep sending me Bud Light Air Force Ones. I can't wear. I refuse to wear them. They're very nice.
I'm gonna wear this shit every day for the next month.
Yeah.
Like, you know who got me these? Check out.
Post Malone.
They are fresh, dude.
But yeah, we should be good. That's about time. Dude, thanks a lot.
Oh, fuck.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
No.
Anything you want to promote or anything?
Oh, shit, no.
Okay, cool.
That's wanted to hang out and shit.
Right, cool.
Should we promote anything?
No. You're more than welcome to.
Just follow rule number one.
Hell yeah.
Have fun.
Panties in my podcast.
Say it with your chest.
I said it, dude. Panties in the Mouth podcast. Go ahead, give her a listen.
Yeah, listen to it. Thank you. We miss you, Matthew.